Our theme for Berean Baptist Church this year is 2026, a good year to what? To love, in short form, is to love in seven. There are seven things, seven areas that we want to seek to maybe develop our expression of and to honor the Lord. So the seven things that we've listed in the, I don't have a a copy of the theme to put on the screen, but there's some around the building. The seven areas are, number one, we want to love the Lord our God, the triune God, and we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Secondly, we want to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we want to develop or enhance our love for the Word of God. Fourthly, it's love for the church, particularly the local church. Number five is to love one another. And number six is to love our neighbor. And number seven is to love the Lord's appearing. There's a crown awaiting those who love the Lord's appearing. So we picked those seven for this year, and we'll work on them through the course of the year. And in communion services, we're going to deal with talking about each one of these things. And, of course, number seven is always the number of perfection and completion, so that's why we picked the seven. There are other things that we probably can enhance our love for, but these are the seven we're going to work on. So love in seven for 2026. And as I said, we're going to focus on each one of these in successive communion services. And so this morning, we want to take a look at what the Bible has to say concerning loving the triune God. Now, we read in Mark chapter 12 about the ruler coming to Jesus and saying, what's the greatest commandment in the scriptures? One of the scribes came, and Jesus answered in Mark 12, verse 29, Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. The verse that we attached to loving the triune God in our theme is Matthew 22, verse 37, which says, and you can turn, if you want, to Matthew 22, 37, where it says, Jesus said to him, this is the same instance, Matthew's record, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now, Mark includes all thy strength as well, but Matthew just picks up on the three things there. So this was Jesus' answer to the question posed to him by one of the Pharisees, one of the scribes, about what the great commandment in the law was. Now, in the context of Matthew 22, the question that they asked about the great commandment was intended to tempt the Lord Jesus. They were testing him. They were probably wanting him to say something by which then they could accuse him of opposing or defaming the law of Moses, which, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees championed, at least their version of that. So I wonder what they were expecting Jesus to say. What's the great commandment in all of the law? What do you think they might have been looking for in terms of an answer? Something from the Ten Commandments? Which one of the ten would Jesus say is the greatest of them? Something from the 613 other commandments in the law? Would he pick one of them? And they were ready, I think, to pounce on him with whatever answer he gave. I don't think they expected the answer that Jesus actually gave. So in Jesus' answer, when he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength." Do you know where that came from? Did Jesus just pull that out of the air someplace? Okay, take your Bibles, turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. You know where Deuteronomy is? Fifth book of the Decalogue, chapter 6. Finally, Deuteronomy 6, look at verse 4. What does it say? "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." The answer that Jesus gave comes from the Scriptures. The answer to what is the great commandment, he draws out of the book of Deuteronomy. And I wonder sometimes if our ability to quote out of Deuteronomy to help us in times of need is there to help us. You remember during the temptation in the wilderness, Jesus being tempted by the devil? Three times the devil brought a temptation, and Jesus answered him every single time with a verse that comes out of Deuteronomy. And so here he is still quoting his own scriptures, because he is the author, about what the great commandment is. Now in verse 4 of Deuteronomy 6, it's often referred to in Hebrew circles, Jewish circles, as the Shema, because the first word here is the Hebrew word Shema. And so Jesus says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." What is this saying? It's a pretty important statement that Jesus is quoting, and that is included here in the inspired scriptures. Well, let's take a look just for a few moments at what we have here. In the verse, the word Lord, what do you see about the word Lord? All capital letters. That is the Hebrew word Jehovah, right? Jehovah. The word Jehovah in Hebrew is just four consonants. Four consonants, let me show you. That's the Hebrew that gets translated Lord, all capital letters. And you read Hebrew from right to left, right? So Yod, He, Vav, He are the four letters. Hebrew language didn't have any vowels. The Masoretes in later years put points on various letters to accent a vowel pronunciation. Scholars want to pronounce that as Yahweh, but we like Jehovah, right? Jehovah. The Hebrews didn't have a letter J. The Yod, the first letter there, really is our comes into English as a J. It's the same with the word Jerusalem. Jerusalem in Hebrew starts with the Yod. We don't say Yerusalem. We say Jerusalem. So Jehovah. Right, is how I think that should be pronounced. So, literally, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 is this: Shema Israel, Jehovah Eloheinu, Jehovah Echad. Can you repeat that back to me? Shema Israel, hear, O Israel. Jehovah Eloheinu, Jehovah our God. Jehovah Echad, Jehovah is one. So the word Jehovah means the self-existent one, right? He is the creator, the eternal creator, sovereign Lord of all of the universe. And so the Lord, all capital letters, is one, this verse says. Now, the importance of this statement, interestingly enough, is to be found in the last word of that statement, the word echad, translated one. As you may suspect, the Hebrew has two words that are translated one in English. The term that is here in chapter 6, verse 4, echad, means a plurality in one, a unity. It doesn't communicate how many are in the plurality, just that it's not in a single one, but a plurality in one. And you're thinking, well, what difference does that make? It makes a great deal of difference when we seek to understand who the Lord is. The best illustration of the Hebrew word echad is to be found in Genesis 2:24. This is after God had created Adam, put him to sleep, took from his side, made Eve, brought them together, and the man and the woman. And Genesis 2:24 says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Right? And that word one flesh is echad. It's a plurality in unity, one out of some, out of many. Don't know, in this case, in Genesis 2, it's one flesh from two people, husband and wife. So in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, the Lord is one. He's one in unity. The truth that God is a Trinity is found in numerous places in the Bible. So while Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 doesn't give us a number for the one, we do learn from other places in the scripture that it is a number three. It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And here's a few verses that may help us to understand that it's three. No more, no less. It's three that the scriptures teach us. So in the Apostolic Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 19, it says, "Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name," singular, "of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." Right? So just those three, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, this is a benediction from the Apostle Paul to the Corinthian church. He says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." And so once again, we see three. The Lord Jesus, it would be God the Father, and then the Holy Ghost as well. In John 14, verse 16, when Jesus is teaching about the Holy Spirit, that he's going to send the Holy Spirit, this verse, John 14, 16, says, "And I, Jesus, will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." And in the next few verses, we find that the other comforter is the Holy Spirit that will be given. And so, the Lord, our God, is a triune God. You okay with that? Lots of people aren't. There's lots of groups out there that refuse to accept the triune nature of God. They say, well, you Christians who believe in Trinity, you believe in three gods. No, we don't believe in three gods. We believe in one God in three persons, right? One God in three persons, not three gods. And Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, helps us to understand that there is a plurality in the Godhead. The Lord, Jehovah, is one. One from many, or in this case, from three. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So now Jesus, over in Matthew and Mark, said that the great commandment is to love the Lord, our God, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Strength coming out of Mark's record. So the question is, how do we do that? How do we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, strength, and soul? Well, for the next few minutes, let's talk about that. Let's see what we can learn in terms of how to love our triune God. From the Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, and then the gospel records which Jesus gave, we learn that we can love the Lord with all of our heart, right? It's the center of our volitional part of our being, our emotions. We love him with all our soul, and of course the soul is the very center of our whole being. The word soul relates to a breathing creation. And we're breathing. When you stop breathing, it's pretty much done for being here on the earth. But the soul and spirit go to be with the Lord if you're a believer in Christ. To love him with all of our mind, with our the scribe who said that Jesus answered properly, said that he used the word intellect with part of this, and that would be the mind. And then, of course, the strength is the whole energy of our body and being is to be put into loving the Lord our God. Now, the word love is agape. Agape. This is not primarily a feeling, although there is some emotion attached to it. The word agape is primarily an act of the will. We choose to love in all situations. This word love seeks the welfare of the object of its love, wants the best for that. It does not seek its own. And if you want a good definition and description of love, read 1 Corinthians 13. 1-8. It gives a wonderful description. So agape love seeks the well-being of another person. It's an act of the will. That's why Jesus could say that we are to love our enemies. You may not like them, but we are to love them, to do what is best for them, what is in their best interest, eternal well-being, and so on. And so this is agape love, and that is the kind of love that we are to express towards the Lord our God. So how can we express that kind of love for the Lord? There's a few other verses in the book of Deuteronomy that may help us understand how we can express our love. Now, granted, these verses relate to the nation of Israel, but there are principles that we can learn from them for ourselves as Christians today. So the first one I would have you look at is Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. If going to the book of Deuteronomy was good enough for Jesus, I think we can go there ourselves and learn a few things about loving the Lord our God. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12 says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord," all capital letters, "what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Here in this verse, we see there are four things that go together by which we may express our love to the Lord. He talks about fearing the Lord, right? To fear the Lord, that is to give him reverence, glory, honor, that belongs only to the Lord our God, to fear him, to reverence him. He talks about walking in all the ways of the Lord. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says that we want the Lord to direct our paths, right? And he lays out the roadway for us. He smooths out all the bumps and helps us to walk carefully in his ways in our lives. So fear the Lord, walk in the ways of the Lord, love him, and finally, he says, serve him. All those four things go together. They're like a cube, I guess, although a cube's got six sides. There's just four in this one. But to love the Lord thy God really means to fear him, to walk in all his ways, and to serve the Lord. And serving the Lord is very practical. It's expressive. And there's many ways in which we can serve the Lord, right? Not everyone is gifted to do everything, but we are gifted to do some things. I'm glad that the Lord gave Dave Emmons the gift of looking after books, financial records. That's a big help, because I would mess that thing up so quick if I was in charge of it. Others can clean the church on a weekly basis. You can serve the Lord in very many ways, giving a ride to somebody to church, going to visit, praying for one another. That's obviously serving the Lord as well. So to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and thy soul are things that we can put into practice that we might be able to express our love for the triune God. And all of those four actions, I think, really come together around the word love there in that verse. Here's another one from Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 30, verse 20, which says, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. So from that verse, we can summarize how we are to love the Lord our God. To love him is to obey his voice. Now, today we're not listening for a voice in our heads or in our ears or out there. Where do we hear the voice of the Lord? Right here, in his word. This is the voice of God for us today in his complete word. So you need to be in the word, and good Bereans always are, so that we might know what God has for us and so that we can obey the things that he tells us. And then it says in chapter 30, verse 20, to cleave unto him. The English word cleave is very interesting, isn't it? It has two opposite meanings. It can mean to separate, you know, if you're in the butcher shop and they're cleaving the meat. it could mean to separate, but it also means to come together, to be held together like glue. One of the Greek words translated cleave literally means that. It's glue that holds everything together. So we're to cleave to the Lord. And in doing that, then we'll get to know him even better than we ever have and be able to serve him with our lives. So, in summary, on how we can love the Lord our God, we need to fear the Lord, walk in his ways, that would be found in his word, to serve the Lord, to obey his voice, again, we're taking us back to the word, and cleave unto the Lord. Don't separate from him, but rather stick to him like glue, is the idea of cleaving here. Now, in the New Testament side of things, Hebrews 12:28 says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. All right, so there's a good principle here for us in Hebrews 12:28. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And then one more in 1 Peter 2:17, as Peter is addressing those to whom he is writing, he just simply says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. So those are good principles for us to put into place in our lives as believers so that we might be able to properly love the Lord our God, the triune God. In terms of cleaving, here is Acts 11, verse 23, who, when he came, this is speaking about Barnabas, who came from Jerusalem up to Antioch. They heard that people were getting saved up there. So Barnabas was sent up to check things out. And so it says, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. With purpose of heart, cleave to the Lord. So that ought to be our purpose. Purpose of heart is to simply stick to the Lord. Not give up, not move away, not quit, but hang in there, continue to persevere in the things of God's word and our life with him. So, as we remain faithful to the Lord our God, we will find his blessing and strength to be our portion. And in his work in our lives is going to help us to love him even more. And maybe even in greater ways than we ever have before. And so may the Holy Spirit continue to develop his fruit of love in us, that we may in particular use it to express love for the triune God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning, and thank you for this great command, that commandment that the Lord Jesus has expounded for us, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we trust and pray that we may be able to do that properly in a godly manner that's going to bring honor, reverence, and glory to your wonderful name. And even though we've taken this morning for a little while to examine that particular aspect of love, I pray that this will not be the only time that we will think about it or put it to work in our lives, but that you would give us the wherewithal to express this love for the triune God every day of the year of our life until Jesus comes again. And I pray that you would help us to just muse on it, to meditate upon it, and perhaps think of other ways even that we can express our love to you. Thank you for your word and how you reveal yourself to us in it. And we pray that you would help us to love you as we ought, and that you would be pleased with that. I pray that you will bless your word to our hearts just now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.